Father, I thank you again as we come together, fellowship, exhort one another, and to look into these examples of these lives that have gone before us, and these heroes of faith, the champions, and the things they did. And we pray that the entrance of your word this morning and afternoon will bring forth understanding, will bring light into our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today will be part two of these, champions of faith and trailblazers. There's a lot of, champions of faith that Hebrews 11 recorded, but I just picked out a few just to see. Especially the ones that are called trailblazers, the ones that, had accomplished or done something, or something was recorded about them in their life that hardly we had not seen from people before them. So that's why we call them trailblazers. And they did some powerful things. Yesterday we talked about Enoch. Was a trailblazer. And Moses was a trailblazer. Joshua, we talked about these three yesterday. So you have to listen to the replays if you missed that. But today I want to go on to some others, and then just the essence of this lesson is for us to see that these people dared to believe God. They dared to believe God. Sometimes they had to go against the mainstream theology. Sometimes, they had to defy logic. Sometimes they even had to defy, the elements and different things. I mean, they just, by faith, they did awesome things, which perhaps was not even done before their time. But how in the world did they believe God that they could do those things when there was no precedence, when there was no example? Well, example or not, the Holy Spirit might reveal something to you, and if you can believe it, Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. We know that all things are possible with God. We already know that. There shall nothing be impossible with God. We know that. But also, to those who can believe, if you dare to believe, your faith can approximate the workings of God. All things can be possible to you too. So today, let's move on to a few more stories in the Bible. Some of them you are very familiar with their stories, but we just want to, share some aspects of their lives, of how they believed God, and they, they did incredible things. The first one I want to do today is Jacob. Remember, we told his story, severally when we were doing on the favor magnets and so on. So his story fits in here as well, because he did something that altered the course of nature. We don't know that anybody else had ever done what he did. You know the story. We've told it a few times. We went at length into it during the favor series. So if you missed that, you might check it out. But I want to call out the fact that, he had faith and he had a vision of how to alter the course of nature. I mean, he influenced the colors that those, when the calves made it, the strong ones, he influenced the colors, that would come out there. It was what he spoke before. He said, look, the ring streak, the speckled, and all of these things will be my hire. So, and everything else that's, plain color, nice color will be yours. Well, in order for God to give and, cause a transfer of wealth from Laban, who was trying to cheat him of his wages 10 times, we're told, well, the Lord gave him strategy, gave him instruction. But you know, Jacob could have said, come on now. Whoever heard of such a thing? I mean, you can't just take a rod and slice some things in it and put it in front of the, you know, the cattle that are trying to mate and cause them to you know, to bring forth something. You know, you can't do it. But no, he didn't say that. He dared to believe. And he did something nobody else could ever or have ever done in that Bible. We don't know anybody else did it after that either. But he did it. You know, and he influenced. When he looked up at the cattle that was strong, that had strong bones, you know, say, yeah, these ones have good DNA in them. Then he would do the thing. And then those ones would produce the very strong ones. When he saw the feeble cattle mating, he just left them alone. And by and large, transferred all the wealth to himself. But he did something. He altered the course of nature. That's amazing. You talk about trailblazing faith. That right there was a trailblazing faith. I mean, this same Jacob, he also knew how to wrestle with God. I mean, there's a lot of things that he knew how to do. But this one was perhaps the singular, most spectacular thing that he did. And very little is spoken about that at times. You know, it was just one of those stories tucked away somewhere in the Bible. But I guarantee you, it was a trailblazing action that he did to alter the course of nature. He caused the cattle that, you know, were conceiving to bring forth of different colors for his own benefit. You know, how do you do that? I challenge you to go out and try to do it. How do you do it? That's a trailblazer right there, you know. And he accomplished that. It was powerful, powerful stuff. Praise God. So that was Jacob. Well, let's move on. I have a few more stories. You know, there's some other people that did, you know, a few things. Perhaps not so significant, but yet significant. And even some of their lives began to rub off on others. You know, when people saw that, you know, and learned what they had done, they said, my goodness, they've done that. Well, I can do it too. So that's the purpose of this lesson. David was a man that did some things, you know, that eventually rubbed off on others, you know. David, we saw the story of how he went hand-to-hand combat with a lion and with even a bear. You know, maybe others may have done it, but that's the one that we really, the lesson came out powerfully in the scriptures that he did that. And he was a young man and he didn't run away. In fact, Jesus said that, you know, the hireling shepherd who is, I mean, the sheep are not his own. When he see the wolf coming or the lion or whatever, he will run away. Well, David did not shy away from that. You know, perhaps in a moment when he wasn't paying attention, the lion came in and grabbed something from the flock. But David said, oh, no, not on my watch. You know, I mean, how do you go after a lion and try to take the, you know, prey from his mouth? How do you do that? You know, you risk your life to do it. But there's something else that I want to bring out in that story, which I alluded to a couple of days ago. You know, it was something amazing that he did to go in hand-to-hand combat with a lion. But also think about his mindset. The mindset. This was a mindset of, look, I will recover all. That was always David's mindset. You can take something from me, but I'm getting it back. Hallelujah. Now, David's stories with the lion, the bear, and all these things, and Ziklag, they were not a story of never having any losses. You know, so I want to use that to encourage us as well. His story was not one that he never had a loss. Oh, you know, everything was always good, and God protected everything around him and never lost anything. No, he actually lost things. You know, he lost one of the kids, the lambs. The lion already took it. and he went after it. You know, another time a bear. Yeah, those bears, you know, how do you wrestle one of those grizzly bears or things like that? How do you do it? When that bear stood up against him like that and pounded his chest, you know, it was like 9 feet tall when he stood up. I mean, those things can be really huge when they stand up like that, 6 feet, 7 feet, some of them, you know. And as a digression to that story, that even helped him when he came face to face with Goliath. He remembered. And he said, you know, he was like, look, I already had some practice. I tell you, he told the king that, look, when this bear stood up against me, you know, it was as big as this Goliath. You know, so I've seen been there, done that. He went into hand-to-hand combat with the lion. He came out a winner. Went to hand-to-hand combat with the bear. He came out a winner. And his mentality was, you take something that belongs to me, I'm going to get it back. Huh? Glory to God. So David, you know, he was like that. And, you know, David had some people around him. You know, they've heard those stories. They've seen some of the things he did. And it began to rub off on them. They're called David's mighty man. You can read their story in 2 Samuel, you know, chapter 23 from about verse 8. You know, they were mighty men like David. I mean, David's composure, David's, you know, faith, and David's ability to defy the odds began to influence the people that were around him. Take a note of that. You know, that's important. You know, he influenced the people around him. They began to be strong like him, and they began to do exploits like him. I mean, we don't speak too much about these people, but yeah, let me tell you a few things about some of them. If you look at this story in 2 Samuel 23, I mean, you know, there were these people, some of them, one of them was called Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Haolite. You know, he was one of the three mighty men with David. He defied the Philistines. Remember, David defied the armies of Philistines, you know, by killing Goliath. So these people that were around him, you know, this thing began to rub off on them. And one day this man, you know, they were gathered to battle. This time around, it wasn't David. I mean, David was the one they sang, you know, Saul has, you know, slain his thousands. David has slain his 10,000s. But look at this man. It's Eleazar, man. You know, he went out against the Philistines, you know, until his hand was weary. We're told that even his sword clave to his hand. I mean, he could not let go of this sword. I mean, no matter what, he couldn't shake this sword off. The sword was clave onto his hand. He went out and smote one man. I mean, we've heard of an angel of the Lord that can go out there and smite. But how does a man do that? You know, how do you go and, you know, smite? Well, either the bravery of David, his prowess against Philistines, the giant, and all these stories of lion and bear and so forth, inspired these people. And so this man, he went out, he wrote a great victory that day, and, you know, and so on. I mean, so many people that went. Another one, you know, went down and also had a hand-to-hand combat with a lion. You know, you can read it. You know, I don't want to read all these stories, but they did incredible things. You know, another man went out against someone that looked like a giant. The one that went out against, you know, a lion, you know, went against the lion, even in the pit. We're told in a pit of snow. You know, another man went, you know, to, you know, someone that looked like almost a giant. He went out with his own hand. The other guy had, you know, weapons. He had nothing. He plucked it out of his hand. I mean, these people were just, they were amazing things. You know, they did amazing things. You know, it rubbed off on them from David. So the idea is hopefully these stories that we're reading today will rub off on some of us. We say that, look, we can do these things. Praise God. You know, so, you know, we can do these things. Hallelujah. So I'm going to leave the David story there, You know the David story, very popular things that he did. But he was a trailblazer in many respects. He would not cave in. He would not give up. And no matter what he did or anything came up against him, he would not let up. And this man also, you know, in a certain way, was someone that was able to pierce the veil of time. You know, that's another thing that David did, which we heard a little bit about it yesterday. He pierced the veil. You know, there was something that was not lawful for him to do, which is to eat the showbread that was only for the priest and so on. But he went in there and demanded of it. And, you know, when the priest was saying, well, I don't have anything here but this holy bread. Now, David said, well, it is common bread. Call it holy. It's common bread already. You just give it to me. And this man, David, he not only took that bread, ate it, gave it, and he had, you know, David was a covering to all the people that were, you know, with him. We don't know that if any of those people adventured that. I mean, we saw this, you know, how God made a bridge over Uzzah that tried to help the ark when he stumbled, when the ark, you know, the oxen that was carrying the ark stumbled, and he tried to help the ark and put forth his hand to make sure it didn't fall. I mean, he was trying to do God a service, but the Lord struck him because, no, you shouldn't have tried to put your hand against, you know, out on the ark. And God struck him, but not David. David, he understood, you know, the mercies of the Lord. In fact, he was named after him. He said, we'll call it the sure mercies of David. He knew things that people didn't know. I mean, nobody else probably could do that, that he could go in like that and take a look. Give it to me already. You know, it is even common bread, you know, and don't call it holy. I mean, what makes it holy? He even said, look, it is even common bread, you know, so. And when he took the bread, he ate it and gave to those that were also with him. And not only that, Jesus would come and give testimony about this story later on. You know, I mean, he said, look, when they asked Jesus, why are your disciples doing these things on the Sabbath day that they shouldn't do? And Jesus said, well, have you never read what David did in the days of Abiathar the priest? How he went to the house of God and did eat the showbread that was not lawful for him to eat? I mean, Jesus even testified about these things. You know, let's read just a small snippet of this story in 1 Samuel. Chapter 21, you know, and we're going to read just a few verses there to see the mindset of this David, you know, his mindset. So when he went here, he came to Abimelech the priest, Ahimelech. And David said to him, look, you know, don't let anyone know I'm here and so forth. You know, give us something. You know, now the man said to him, there is no common bread here. You can read that in verse 4 of 1 Samuel 21. There's no common bread, but hallowed bread, not holy bread, you know. Now, if the young men had kept themselves, you know, at least from women, just, you know, but look at David's answer. He said, look, yeah, indeed we kept ourselves, but he says that bread is in a manner common. You know, I mean, you can read that in verse 5. David said, look, it is common bread. Don't call it holy or anything like that. Even though it looks like you put it in a vessel and it was sanctified, but it's still common bread. I mean, David, you know, his mindset was like, look, you know, I have access to that. You don't shroud it in anything. You know, he pierced that veil. He did too. You know, and the Lord said, wow. Even Jesus testified of that. I mean, nobody, you know, nobody would have thought they could get away with that. Maybe the law would have struck him down, you know, people might have thought, but no. Not only did he take it, he ate it, he gave it to those who were next to him or around him and followed him. It was a covering unto them like that. And, you know, the miracles and things that David experienced, the supernatural favor, because he was, you know, he understood the mercies of God, you know. And finally, the Lord actually chose his throne. You know, in a way, David was also a trailblazer, because the Lord never said he would choose anybody else's throne other than David. And the Lord said, look, I'll choose this man's throne to set upon. And there could have been anybody in that lineage that they could have named Jesus after, but he was named after David. You know how the Jews, they like genealogies and different things like that. That was their culture. In fact, the young children are trained genealogies and different things. They can quote all those things. You know, you can see that even Stephen, when he was preaching in Acts chapter 7, he preached all those genealogies. They knew those things, you know. And but when Jesus's you know, history or genealogy will be traced, was traced to David. It could have been traced to anybody else, but it was David. And the scripture calls him the son of David, you know, and so on. And everywhere in the scriptures, Jesus is tied to David somehow. It's called the root, you know, even though it's called the root and the offspring of David. And Jesse was his father, you know. And Jesse had a foot in the door too in that lineage, but it was mostly David that Jesus was named after, like that. You know, that's how they used to name people. They would say such and such person, the son of such and such person. And, you know, David was, you know, Jesus the Christ was named after David like that. They called him the son of David. I mean, so that's powerful stuff. And he's the one and only person in that Bible that has that honor, you know, that the Lord chose the throne of David forever. Nobody else will ever do it. He said, upon the throne of David, you know, to order it, you know, and to stretch forth the kingdom, the Christ would come. Isaiah chapter 9 talked about it in verses 6 and 7. God sit on the throne of David, you know. So that's something that David, you know, through the mercies and grace of God, something that happened in his life that nobody else, you know, can lay claim to. And he got it, you know, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it. You know, that's the Lord who come like that. So trailblazers, I mean, things that they did or was done through their lives that nobody else could have done or did. But these people were ordinary people, but they were in favor with God. You know, that's the difference. Now, Elijah, let me move on to Elijah. Now, Elijah, you've known, you know, some things, you know, about Elijah, all the various things he did, you know. And one thing that we knew that was common with Elijah was he was, you know, he knew and was experienced supernatural supply all the time in his life. But that's not the thing that made him, you know, such a trailblazer. He had miracles of supply in 1 Kings chapter 17. You can read, you know, all the things that happened to Elijah. I mean, God personally, you know, when we did the What God is Cooking series, we spoke about this story. God personally sent Elijah, God's own DoorDash service, God to cook the meal and send it to Elijah. I mean, this man had tremendous power and faith, you know, ravens and everything, serving him and so on. And not only that, I mean, he was able to speak a word, just one word, you know, that will bring tremendous supply to the widow of Zarephath, and, you know, for all the days until rain will come. This man, you know, he did all those things. But the thing that was such a trailblazing thing about him was the chariots of fire. We've never heard, you know, not even Enoch. You know, Enoch just went silently. Nobody knew how he went. But this Elijah man, you know, even Jesus said, look, of that day and of that hour, nobody would know. But not in the case of Elijah. Everybody knew it. The sons of the prophets, everybody knew about this. Elijah, his life was just something else. You know, chariots of fire come from heaven to get him. My goodness, just think of that. You know, you talk about trailblazing faith. You know, chariots of fire. You know, he's going to heaven. He's a whirlwind prophet. And chariots of fire coming to get him. My goodness. I mean, how in the world, I mean, do we see something like that? I mean, Jesus himself went up in a cloud of heaven. But this Elijah, he went up with chariots of fire. It was somebody else. I don't know why the Lord gave him such tremendous favor to be able to do that. But it was something he did which nobody else in that Bible did, at least that is written, that they went up in chariots of fire. Hallelujah. And it was so, it came to pass on the day when the Lord would take Elijah to heaven. Everybody knew it. Elisha knew it. The sons of the prophet knew it. I don't know how they knew, but they knew it. They even came and told Elisha, don't you know that today the Lord is going to take your master away from your head? Say, I know it. Keep your peace. You know, and this man, my goodness, he was world renowned for the one thing, and the chariots of fire. He's going to heaven. No, everybody going to know it. Praise the Lord. You know, something about that Elijah man. Elijah. The Lord, he is God. That's what that means. And his life demonstrated tremendous power. Go up, you know, against all the false prophets of Baal and call, you know, say, look, the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And he could do all those things. Put a trench, put water and so forth. Call fire down, you know, and get all those prophets. Get them all killed. But I guarantee you, the most spectacular thing in his life was a chariot of fire. Praise God. You know, so he went out in a blaze of glory. And thank goodness, how does God send chariots of fire to come and pick somebody up? And he, you know, this, and Ezekiel saw all the flashing of fire enfolding itself, a wheel within a wheel, you know, fire going back and forth from the throne, you know, but it was mostly all around the Lord. But this man, all that stuff was around him, sent to pick him up and to bring him to heaven. Wow. That was some power we got. You know, never heard that anybody else did that. You know, maybe they did, but at least we didn't hear of it. But Elijah did it. He went up in a chariot of fire. Praise God. Came to get him. You know, I mean, it wasn't enough that he would just go to heaven. It wasn't enough that God would just take him silently like he did Enoch, you know, but God would take him, you know, visibly, you know. So Enoch, the Lord has shown us that, look, Enoch could be a pattern of a silent translation. Elijah would be a pattern of a visible coming of the Lord in chariots to get his people. These two stories are in the Bible. It's there. There's a reason why God allowed it. Think about it. You know, it's a way that God took Enoch that nobody knew. They were just looking for him all over the place. Well, by the time of Elijah, everybody knew it. Well, so might something like this repeat at the end, where the Lord would take some people and nobody would know it? And then he would come back again and take a lot of people and everybody would know it. These things are in the scriptures. You know, so these are trailblazers. Now, Let's talk about a few more stories that I want to just get out here. And at the end, I'll tell you something also and give a word. Now, there were these men that were taken captive in the time of Daniel to Babylon in the days of Nebuchadnezzar the king. Daniel was one of them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were his friends. They all were there. And some things happened to them. First, let's talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, these young men would defy fire. A fiery, burning furnace that was heated up 7 times. We don't know the degrees of that fire. The people that even tried to throw them into the fire, they themselves were consumed by the flame and the heat. You know, meanwhile, Nebuchadnezzar probably, staying behind a fireproof glass of sorts and looking from afar off. But these people, they went into the fire. They defied the fire. They said, look, throw us into the fire if you want to, but we're not bowing down to anything. And our God, whom we serve, is able. I mean, these people knew it, that God was able to deliver them from fire. Well, Isaiah promised it that, look, when you pass through the fire, the Lord will be with you. Isaiah 43:2. But I don't think that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ever read of the story of someone that was thrown in the fire and came out alive. I don't think they ever did. But somehow, even though they'd never seen it happen, well, there was a word that they could have believed, but they never seen it happen. They don't know anything about it. But in their hearts, they believe that God could do it. And that it was trailblazing faith. You know, when trailblazing faith is the kind of faith that you have when there is no precedence for the thing that you are believing God for. You know, you just believe God, even though you've never heard that anybody else did it before. It's called trailblazing. I call it trailblazing faith. And so they went into that fire, bound by strong men and thrown into the fire for to be burnt alive. But lo and behold, as soon as they were thrown in the fire, their captors, even themselves, were engulfed in the flames. You know, they stood upright. The chains fell off their hands and they were walking around, praising the Lord. My goodness. And Nebuchadnezzar himself, he looked, he said, my goodness, did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire? How come now we see 4 of them loose, walking around? The 4th of them looked like the Son of God. These people, they went in the fire. They walked all over the place and they came out of that fire unharmed. You talk about trailblazing faith. You know, they were not even afraid for their lives. Scripture talks about people like that in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 12. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They don't care. You know, throw us in the fire, doesn't matter. Now, of course, they already knew in their hearts that the Lord was going to deliver them. But they said, even if he didn't, not because he couldn't, we know he will. But let's just say, for whatever reason, best known to him, he chooses not at this particular time to deliver us. But of course, he will deliver us. And I said, look, we still will not bow, upon which the king was furious. And the king liked these young men, he liked them, Daniel and Lord, so forth. They were men that were trained in sciences. They were men that fared better than all the others. And they were men that were, in good standing and so forth. But in this matter, they defied the king and the king was furious and he gave them one last chance. I'll give you one last chance. Penalty of death. If you don't do it, jeopardy without their lives, but they wouldn't do it. But I want you to notice the thing they said in Daniel, chapter 3. Notice the way they said it, because this is what I call non-negotiable portion of your faith. This is the way they responded to the king. They said, to the king, we want you to know that our God whom we serve. You can read verse 17. He said, our God, because he said, look, I'll give you one last chance. If you can bow down when you hear the music, penalty of death. If you don't. And they said, look, let it be known to the king that this is not something that we have to deliberate upon. We already have our answers right here. We are not going to bow. But here's what they said. Here's the way they said it. If it be so that you want to cast us into the fire, well, so be it. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery forest, and he will deliver us. That's it right there. You know, these people had this non-negotiable declaration of their faith. So this is the way that we also must believe God. When we are believing God, it could be against all odds. It could be something small. It could be something big. It is non-negotiable that you must understand and know and declare that God is not only able, but that he will do it. That's right. Now, what do we do if for whatever reason he doesn't do it? Well, we still rejoice. We rejoice in the knowledge that, look, there is something that God is cooking that I don't understand. I know he can deliver me, and I know he will. You settle that one. So there's no question. Not only is he able to do it, he actually will do it. That's what they said. And they were settled in that one. But they said, well, but if for whatever reason, the Lord chooses not to, well, that's okay. We still will not bow. Praise the Lord. Well, they were about to go into that situation with the mind that they are coming out of it already. Now, they already declared that we're coming back out. God will deliver us out of this burning, fiery burning furnace. He will do it. You know? And as we're going in, but if for whatever reason he doesn't do it, well, we're still not going to bow. Before we go in, when we come out, we will not bow. No matter what. We'll never bow. Praise God. And they went through the fire, they came out, and their story today energizes us. They were, they had this fiery furnace faith. They could go through that fire and come out unharmed. And so we see that Isaiah 43 verse 2 can actually be true. You know, you can go through the fire and not be burned. These people proved it, demonstrated it. So those were also champions of faith, heroes of faith, trailblazers in their own rights. Now, what about Daniel? You know, how do you get thrown into a lion's den, a den of lions full of hungry lions? They starve those lions for those reasons. You know, and then whoever so they throw into that den of lions, the lions make mastery of them even before they get to the bottom. That's what we're told. Those that conspired against Daniel, finally when, the tables turned and the king, commanded those men to be thrown into the lion's den, we see that they did not even get to the bottom before the lions made mastery of them. As they were coming down, lions bleeped and grabbed every one of them and broke their bones and devoured them. But in the case of Daniel, thrown into the lion's den, he hit the bottom. All the lions were just cool. They were just looking at him. You know, they did nothing. As a matter of fact, Daniel had a good night's sleep. You know, some of those male lions, they have these thick manes around their heads. They might have made a cushion for his sleep. He just lay down, with the lion like that. They provided a pillow for him, and everything was just cool and calm. And he slept right there, in the lion's den. Had a good night's sleep. Even the king had no sleep. I come out early in the morning. The king loved Daniel. He loved Daniel so much, and he wanted to get out of that thing. But they trapped him, and he couldn't get out of it, but he couldn't sleep. And he was just, you know, hoping against hope that somehow, the king didn't know how. So he come out there early in the morning. Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has thy God whom thou served continually been able to deliver you from the power of the lions? Daniel said, oh, king, live forever. I'm right here. Me and the lions were all here. And goodness, you know, that man lived for joy. He screamed, he shouted. Say, get him out of there right now. You get thrown into the lion's den. You spend a whole night with hungry lions and you come out of there. My goodness. You talk about trailblazing faith. Now, these people had power with God. They had power with God. You know, praise God. Power with God. Talking about power with God reminds me of, Jacob. He was someone that wrestled with God. He wrestled with God, you know, he wouldn't let him go, you know, and the Lord said, look, you have power with God as a prince. So he changed his name to Israel, you know, a prince of power with God, you know. Now, going back to, you know, Daniel, and the bravery of Daniel, and his testimony actually changed kingdoms. Glory to God. When he come out of that, when the king pulled him out of there, the king made a decree. He said, look, in all places of my dominion, from now on, he said, all nations, peoples, languages that dwell in the earth, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, all my colonies, you can read that in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 25. He said, everywhere, throughout, and he was a ruler, the kingdom that ruled the world at that time, you know. And he said, look, in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. I mean, how can one man influence the world like that? Well, it's a trailblazer. He said, God of Daniel is the living God and steadfast forever. And, you know, Daniel's life influenced kingdoms and caused even kings to bow and tremble, you know, at the God of heaven, who was the God of Daniel. They called him the God of Daniel. He said, the God of Daniel. That's right. They didn't probably know the Lord themselves too much, but he was the God of Daniel. That's how they associated that God with Daniel. My goodness. Daniel influenced kingdoms. He said, he's steadfast. The God of Daniel is the living God. He's steadfast forever. His kingdom that we shall not be destroyed. His dominion that we shall not end. You know, he delivereth, he rescueth, he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. And he had delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. My goodness. One man influenced kingdoms around the world because of his testimony and his steadfastness and his faith to come out of the lion's den. You know, that's right. Come out of there. And the Bible spoke of him among the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. You know, it said, who stopped the mouth of lions? Spoke of his friends also, you know, said, look, they escaped fire and all these things. They stopped the violence of fire. They quenched the violence of fire. They stopped the mouth of lions. I mean, these were powerful people. Read about them in Hebrews 11, talking about Daniel, stopped the mouth of lions. Talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, quenched the violence of fire. They were all trailblazers. I mean, it were things that nobody else could do. You know, there are some other minor stories that we've heard in the Bible. We heard some of them yesterday. You know, the woman that touched the hem of his garment is in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 30. We heard of the Syrophoenician woman. She was another one also. You know, I like to talk about that one in particular. There was somebody that, you know, pierced the veil like David did. You know, she pierced the veil. Because Jesus told her, look, I cannot take children's bread and cast it to dogs. I can't do it. You know, so you can read that story appears in a couple of places, at least in the Bible. It's in Mark chapter 7. It's also in Matthew chapter 15. And, you know, Jesus said, look, right now, at this moment, I am come only for the house of Israel. I'm not sent to the Gentiles, at least not just yet. Now, Jesus knew, of course, that he was going to get the Gentiles as well. You know, I mean, but right now, he said, look, I am not come but for the house of Israel. And he said, I cannot take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. I mean, so that right there was enough, you know, for the woman to be offended and say, why is he calling me a dog? You know, and so forth. And then just turn away. Jesus was giving an illustration, you know, but this woman would not be denied. It would not be denied. It was somebody that knew how to pierce the veil. Let me read to you Isaiah 49 and verse 6 to let you know that Christ had a mandate, not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. He knew it too, but it was going to be in stages. Jesus told the story. He said, a man had two sons, and he had to come to the first one and say, go and walk in my field today. And the one said, I am not going. You know, if the first son had said yes, he would never have gone to the second. But because the first one said no, then he turned to the second. You know the story. So in Isaiah 49 and verse 6, this prophecy concerning Christ was already there. And Christ knew these things already. But yet he said this thing to the woman. And here's how the prophecy said, you know, said it in Isaiah chapter 49 verse 6 concerning Israel and the Gentiles. He said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation to the end of the earth, both Jews and Gentiles. Jesus knew that. But he told the woman, first, the Jews, not yet time for the Gentiles. But the woman said, you know, I'm going to cross that veil, you know, that separating veil of time. She pierced that veil. And Jesus said, well, I can't do that. Well, this woman made Jesus do what he said, I'm not going to do. Praise God. You talk about, you know, commanding faith. You talk about trailblazing faith. You talk about relentless faith that would not give in or give up. Even when it looked like the Lord said no. You know, now let's think about that for a minute. Have you prayed something? You know, and can you make an argument like this woman? You know, this woman, she knew, I mean, she had that mind, that presence, a presence of mind to be able to look for a loophole in what Jesus said. That's right. Jesus already knew she was going to do that. It's all a lesson crafted by the mind of God for us to help us believe things. But, you know, Jesus threw something out there that presented a loophole, and this woman found it and used it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is powerful stuff. Can you do that? You know, when you go up to the Lord and say something, the Lord said no, and say something, and then you find a loophole in the thing that the Lord said, and use it kind of like against the Lord, but the Lord knew all about it, right? You know, so this woman said, look, I know that the bread must be given to the children. You're right. However, when the children are eating, there will be crumbs that will fall from the table, from the bread, to the floor. He said, that one belongs to the dogs. Oh, my goodness. And Jesus said, woo, hoo, hoo. Jesus, you know, my goodness. He saw that and he said, you have pierced, woman, you have pierced the veil of time. This woman would not wait for, you know, the Jews, their time to be over and go over to the Gentiles and so forth. Jesus was saying this thing. First, I got to go to the Jews. Then when they reject me, I got to go to the Gentiles. You know, but this woman, she pierced the veil of time. Talk about a trailblazer. And many more stories like that in the Bible. But I'm going to leave that story, those stories there, because I want to say something else. You know, these stories are sufficient to bring the point home. You know, there are several that I have told in these 2 days. There was Enoch, there was Moses, there was Joshua, there was Jacob, right? There was David, there was Elijah, there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there's Daniel, there's these women. I mean, about 12 examples that I already gave. So that's enough. Let me now say the message, which I've been kind of interjecting along, that's behind these lessons, you know. Now, in the book of James chapter 5, and I did tell you that I will be doing a study, more like a deep dive of the book of James next, if the Lord allows that. But in the book of James chapter 5, we're told something about Elijah, the way that he had power with God through prayers. You know, he said, look, Elijah was a man of like passion. James chapter 5 verse 17. He was just like us. You know, so this is the essence of these stories. These people were just like us. They don't have two heads. They didn't have two heads, you know, but there was something inside of them. They dared to believe God. Sometimes they had to go against mainstream to do it. You know, mainstream theology, mainstream beliefs, belief systems. Sometimes our belief systems, you have to go against it and so forth. You know, knowing that God is able to do anything. And these people, they are just like us. So the essence of this story is, these stories, is to know that these people were just like us. And if these things can be done in them and through them and by them, then we also can experience the same. Now, we can believe God today, like Enoch believed God, and he was translated. But he had tremendous faith. He walked with God, you know, and, you know, come out of there. You know, so, you know, God gave him favor. There's another man called Noah that walked with God, had power over the animals, but he was not a trailblazer. Enoch already had power over the animals before him, you know, but in the time of Enoch, Adam already had power before him, was what I wanted to say. In the time of Adam, it was the glory of God that was around Adam that made him to have power over all those animals, and those animals were subject. But Noah was a trailblazer in a sense. Because by his own time, all the animals had become wild. You know, they were not wild in the days of, Adam. So Adam actually had it easy. You know, the animals were not wild because the glory of God, you know, subdued all of them. They were just docile by the glory of God that was oozing out of Adam. Put everything in alignment for a time. But by the time of Noah, they had all become rebellious and wild because the glory was gone. There's nothing for them to look into. They looked unto Adam and they were enlightened. Well, that was gone. There was no glory there. They became wild. Plants, everything became wild. But by the time of Noah, who also walked with God, I told that Noah walked with God and found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, at that time, Noah had tremendous authority over wild animals. So in a way, he was also a trailblazer. You know, he had, you know, brought all the lions, cougars, tigers, pumas, and all these wild, crazy, you know, animals that prey on little things. and brought the chicken and the deer and everything, all of them together. This massive ark that he built, it took him 120 years to do it. Massive, massive thing. And he gave commandment to all the animals. Now you all come in here and you all behave. No growling, growling at the, you lions, you stay over there. And they will say, yes, sir. And they will go to their corner. And I'll give you something to eat when it's time. But don't even look, don't even think about it. Don't even look at the deer or the chicken or this and that. Just stay over there. And you stay over here. And you stay over here. And the Bible says you're not going to see that again until the millennium. That's right. My goodness. Wow. You talk about power with God. You know, have all those crazy animals all together in one place without any fighting, without any, nothing going out of hand. Commanded them, and they were there, for days, weeks, and even months. And that's some power we got. Well, back to the essence of this story. These people were ordinary people, just like us. However, they learned, some of them did, how to walk with God. And they obtained tremendous favor, with God. You already know, how that, how that Enoch walked with God. One thing you may not know was that Noah also walked with God. This is in Genesis chapter 6. And you can read it, verses 8 and 9 says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he said, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in all his generations. And Noah walked with God. So it looks like this walking with God was something, amazing, that gave, people tremendous power to defy gravity. In the case of Enoch, to defy the rate of death, the rate at which death was trying to creep up on everybody. Enoch, through walking with God, was able to outpace that, transformed into light, and he was gone. In the case of Noah, he didn't quite achieve the state of not dying, but he has got tremendous dominion over all of God's creation. God brought everything two by two, and he did an audition right there. He told Abraham to line up. And you two over there, the rest of you go back. And that's it. And everything obeyed him. There was nothing, none of those animals could argue anything. Tremendous power. Now, these people, we're told in James chapter 5, verse 17, that all these things they did, they were just like us, men of like passion. Elijah was a man of like passion. He could go in chariots of fire, he can call down rain, he can hold the heavens from raining, and he could do all these things, but yet was a man of like passion. So that's the lesson today. There is no one here that we have read about that was, a supernatural being. They were just men like us. They were made in the image of God, just like we were made in the image of God. But they dared to believe God. And so we see all the things that happened in their lives. Now, let that encourage us today to see what we also can do, how we also can overcome. And when you're facing something, even when it said that can't be done, there may be regulations. Even in the land, which this is the way that it is done. And, places like the United States, you can't go against those regulations. It is what it is. And they got to follow protocol. And if you are qualified for something based on certain regulations, you're qualified. If you're not qualified. That's it. There's nothing you can do about it. But I guarantee you, maybe there is something you can do about it. The Lord, he is God. He rules in the affairs of men. He can even turn the hearts of kings, can do anything. And there are things that can happen, you know, upon the earth based on something that first happened in the heavens. That's what God was asking Job. Do you understand the ordinances of heaven? Can you do something in the heavens that will cause dominion upon the earth? Or can you? So, our prayer today, and I'm going to pray. This is the lesson. I'm going to pray for us, over us, myself included, that the Lord will begin to expand our understanding, you know, by these lessons that we've read. I mean, the different things. It wasn't just the one thing that everybody did. It was various things. But by all these various things in various aspects of life, we see that even things that are almost impossible. How do you get out of a lion's den alive? How do you get out of, you know, fiery furnace alive? I mean, how do you do these things? How do you go up in heaven in chariots of fire? You know, I mean, all these things that we've read, how do you change the course of nature? Cause cattle to bring forth colors that you want. How do you do that? Well, all of these people were ordinary people like us. And so the situation that you are facing now is probably not as severe as any of these things that we've read. You're not in the lion's den. You're not, you know, right now in a fiery burning furnace. I mean, think about it. You know, so whatever it is, and here's a scripture. I'm going to close with this and I'm going to pray for us with it. Here's a scripture that I shared at the church this last Sunday, just 2 days ago. That no matter what we are going through, we need to have this kind of posture. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient through your trials, continuing steadfast in prayer. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I mean, how can you rejoice when things are bad? Well, it's amazing. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. That's why I say the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but it contains of power, but it also contains of joy in the Holy Ghost. I mean, there's something that the Holy Ghost can bring that, you know, nobody can understand it. You know, read that in verse 17 of Romans 14. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now that joy, you can be going through things that looks like, look, you're praying, but the heavens are brass. It's not going to happen, it looks like. But nevertheless, you can have joy, you know, and you can remember these testimonies of things that look like are impossible that God made possible. And it can give you joy. And you can just go through, you know, like these people say, look, God is able to deliver and he will deliver, but regardless, they're not going to change anything. You know, don't change anything just because things are not going your way right now. Don't change anything. Daniel did not change anything. Even when he knew that the commandment was made that whosoever prayed will be cast into the den of lions, he did exactly what he used to do before. It wasn't because of the commandment that he started doing it to show off. He was already doing it. And as his manner was, he, you know, opened his windows. It's what he used to do before. Turned his face toward Jerusalem and began to make his prayer. Just like before. He changed nothing. Praise the Lord. And, you know, the Lord was faithful to him. Just like he was faithful to God. To the faithful, the Lord will show himself faithful. Scripture says. So the forward, not so much. Maybe he'll show himself also forward. But the mercy of God. Are two things that you must learn. And this is what I'm going to pray for us today. The grace and mercy of God is on one hand. Your faith is on the other hand. Between those two things, you can get anything and victory over anything. Faith alone in his word can do can move mountains, can move heavens, can do anything. If you have that faith, God says, look, see how she's believing my word? Now you go down there and see to it. End of story. It's done. But even when your faith fails you at times, because, you know, we are, you know, human beings, we still have this soul. Soul can go up and down sometimes. You know, if you have ingrained the understanding in yourself, even when you are weak, he is strong. And the mercy of God can prevail. Mercy of God sometimes is what helps us, even when we're not believing God. You know, when we are just, you know, praying out of sorrow rather than praying from a position of faith, you know, sometimes it's just the mercy of God. But between the mercy of God and your faith, there shall nothing stand before you. So, Father, I pray and I thank you, Lord, for everyone in this room today that have listened in, are listening now, or will listen later through the replays. Having read these stories, the Bible said these things are written for our examples. Lord, we've seen these stories, how men and women like us did tremendous things. You know, stop the mouth of lions, quench the violence of fire. You know, even escaped the edge of the sword and did all these things. You know, wax valiant in fight and so on. But we see also, Lord, that they without us, despite all their testimonies, they could not be made perfect. Meaning that we, our own stories must also be written. The stories are not complete. So, Lord, as these stories are being written in our lives, may they be stories that bring glory to God, just like what we read in the book of Hebrews 11. That our lives also will bring glory to God. Our lives will influence people, just like David influenced his mighty man. And people around us, you know, will fall in line, also under the power of God, as they see the power being demonstrated in our lives. Just like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, Lord, unto you alone be praise and glory. Let this lesson, the intent of it, let it spring forth in our hearts, you know, energizing faith for crisis. You know, all the crisis that we may have in our life, may the word of God that we've shared, and we share every day continually in this room, energize faith for those crises. And through trusting and believing and trusting the word of God, we will obtain the victory. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. Cause the joy of the Holy Spirit to be in our hearts, rejoicing in the hope of God's word, and God's word never fails. Being patient while we're going through the testing and trials, and continuing steadfast in prayer and never giving up. Continuing steadfast in prayer like Jesus said. So, Lord, we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. But right now, I want to come against certain failures and certain Assyrians in the people's lives. I put heavy burdens and different things, you know, upon us that cause sometimes our faith to be weary, our stance to be weak. Now, Lord, the Bible says, I will rebuke the devourer for thy sake. Praise the Lord. You know, it says, it shall come to pass in that day that I will rebuke even the Assyrian for thy sake. I will rebuke all those Assyrians. Now, by the power of the word of God, I declare and decree that the Assyrians and those burdensome things will have no power over you. And the Lord also says, I will no longer give your corn to be meat for your enemies. The devourer, Jesus said, and the word of God will not have power over you in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, let your people go upright and straight. Let them no longer be burdened under the weight of excessive stress. Deliver, O Lord, in Jesus' name. And strengthen your people with faith. And give them resilience. That's right. and be rugged in the face of, you know, testings and trials, knowing that he who is able to do all things is with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.